Our sermon this evening comes from several places, as it is a topical sermon dealing with a recent tragedy in our culture. Most immediately, I'll read from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, and then we'll be turning to John chapter 9. Proverbs 16, verse 4, "The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil." In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. "And he passed by and saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Pray with me. Our God, help us now as we do consider this great tragedy, and as we consider our role in this culture as those who express the truth, as we express your sovereignty and your power, your judgment, and your grace. And show us now, God, how you would have us think and how you would have us to respond. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 7 days ago, 50 people were murdered in a nightclub in Orlando. It was known to be a homosexual establishment where those who practice the same-sex lifestyle could gather together, enjoy one another, and a man who practices the Muslim faith came in and he killed 50 people. He murdered them. As we look at these circumstances, we are put in a strange position as we consider how do we respond to such things as the pillars and the foundations of the truth in a fallen world. I imagine what it would be like if someone came to us and they had their little rainbow ribbon on and they asked us, "So, what do you say about this Christian? How do you respond to these circumstances?" Well, these circumstances are not an isolated incident. As we look at these circumstances, the tragedy is that people die all of the time. Very recently, you probably heard the story of a small child in Orlando who went to this lagoon and was there, and an alligator came and grabbed this child and killed him. This very same year, our own Gracie Diamond was at that same lagoon, stood there with her feet in the water, and yet she was not destroyed. What do we say? Was Gracie spared because she was more righteous than this two-year-old? There is a set of railroad tracks that run past Steubenville, Ohio. At those railroad tracks, it's the place where my grandfather Amos was hit by a train and killed. I have driven across those tracks. Do I imagine that I was spared because I am more righteous than my grandfather Amos was? I do not. Do we look at these circumstances and do we come to Christ and ask, why were these people killed? Because they were homosexual? Jesus would say, no. It was so that the glory of God might be displayed. Do we come and do we ask, were they killed then because they were in bad company, those who were not homosexual? The Lord would say, no. They were killed that the glory of God might be displayed. Were they murdered because they were in a bar? No. They were killed that the glory of God might be displayed. Were they killed because they stayed out too late on the Sabbath? No. But they were killed that the glory of God might be displayed. Well, we look at such circumstances and we ask, how? How will the glory of God be displayed in such circumstances? Well, the amazing thing is that God's word never changes and he never changes. Does our message now change? Does our testimony now change in the face of trial and tragedy? No. Our message continues the same, that God is sovereign over all. That death has come into the world because of sin, blanket across the world, not specifically to homosexuals or those who stay out too late on the Sabbath, but death comes to all men because all have sinned. And the answer for all is the same as it has been for you. They all need Christ Jesus. They need to trust in Him, to believe in Him, and this is our message. This is what we bring. So Christ will be glorified as we announce truth. Now, as we deal with this, I have explained my grandfather Amos, and he comes up quite a bit. If you asked my grandfather Amos a question, and if he asked you a question, and you proceeded to go Appalachian on him and start telling a story, rather than just give him the answer, he would say, "Hold on, hold on. I asked you if the light switch worked. I didn't ask how you wired the house." Well, as someone comes to us and they ask us the question about this, there's not a one-word answer for this. The question is not, does the light switch work? The question is, what is in Pop-Tarts? Have you ever looked at the recipe for Pop-Tarts? It's horrible. It's ugly. It's disgusting. It is a recipe for disaster. And those who live on Pop-Tarts will experience that disaster. As we look at our nation, there is not a quick answer for this. Our nation itself is a recipe for disaster. Our nation itself says, "Come, Muslims, be with us and be happy. Come out of the closet, homosexuals. Practice your lifestyle. Be with us and let's all be happy." And what do we see happen in such circumstances? But the murder that we saw 7 days ago. And the nation shouts to Christians, "Shut up about your Christ. Shut up about the King of Glory." What would we expect to see but disaster? Now, as we interpret these circumstances, several truths need laid out for us to be ready to express. And this is our first step. Governments, not individuals, have the right and responsibility to execute. Governments and not individuals have the right and the responsibility to execute. See, God commands the government to punish evil and to reward good. 1 Peter 2:14, "Or to governors as sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." In Romans 13:4, referring again to the government, "For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on those who practice evil." Now, as we look at our nation, our government, its job and its responsibility is to suppress those things that are destructive to its people. Homosexuality falls into that category. The Muslim faith falls into that category. Proverbs 17:15 gives us this warning. "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." What do we see as we look at the United States of America, as we look at the government? We see those who justify the wicked in false religion, in sinful lifestyles. We see those who condemn the righteous as they shout to Christians to shut up about their Christ, the King of Glory. The scripture then announces both of them, those who justify the wicked and those who condemn the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. So we are in a situation where the United States government is condoning evil and is restraining good. The crimes of our nation are a recipe for disaster, and it would be wise for us to consider and to expect more such tragedies to come. They will come upon each community, and eventually the target will be those who call on the name of Christ. As we look at those who are calling evil good and good evil. This brings us to our next step. Homosexuality is destructive. Romans 1, 26 through 32. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And if we put a picture by this in the dictionary, we could put the United States flag next to it. These are the crimes that we see across the board in our nation. You see, this lifestyle of homosexuality, and what we're referring to is accepting it. Many will struggle with it. It's not the struggle that is the sin, but it's the embracing of the sin, acting on it, giving yourself to it, rejoicing in it, and lobbying for it. It is against God's natural order. What God has established is a husband and a wife. They are the only ones who are to sow and reap. That's it. A husband and a wife. A husband and a wife that are together for life. And this is where we are missing the mark ourselves. The husband being a man is to model Christ. The wife being a woman is to model the church. Deviating from this harms the gospel, as does fornication, adultery, and divorce. Homosexuality, being against God's commands, the words of life, His instruction, it is destructive. It is a path of death. Therefore, homosexuality is an evil practice. This must be our firm understanding. All sin is that we are to hate all sin. Which is not to say that we hate all of those who are in sin or are struggling with sin, but we hate the practice because we love people. We hate to see the things that will destroy them and do them harm. We hate the things that pervert the gospel. We hate the things that destroy families because we love God and because we love our neighbor. Our next step, number three. When anyone neglects their duties, naturally another force moves in to fill the void. When anyone neglects their duties, naturally another force moves in to fill the void. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. As we look at our culture and our society and our government, no longer is our government restraining the evil of homosexuality. No more. I remember when I was a child and Ellen DeGeneres came out and announced that she was a homosexual on primetime television. And the outrage was great at that point. People called in and people complained. The outcry of the culture changed the entertainment and the show was removed. The opposite is true now. If someone speaks against homosexuality in primetime television, that is the show that will be destroyed. But the homosexual lifestyle is loved and embraced and promoted in nearly every new television show that's on. And sadly, television is what is educating the culture these days. Now, this idea of a force moving in to fill the void when a job is not being done by those who have the authority. Imagine if we were outside, and outside we see someone grabbing a woman and trying to steal her purse. We would look, and if there was a police officer there, and he didn't do anything, I'm pretty sure we would. We would move in, and the void would be filled. Well, as we look at a culture where the government is not doing its job, a wicked man moved in and did what the government should be, restocked what the government should be restraining. Our next step, number four, is Islam is evil. Islam is evil. John 14:6-9, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Any religious life or any religious institution who claims to give life and faith and does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation is by definition evil. In the sense that it is drawing people to hell and eternal damnation. Can we say that it is a religion of peace at any point with this being the truth? That people are being lied to and led to hell? We cannot. We cannot. We must be those who firmly stand and announce that any religious life, apart from full trust in Christ Jesus, is eternal death and damnation. You are the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Is it loving for us to remain silent? Is it faithful to Christ Jesus for us to remain silent in love for God? Is it faithful to your neighbors to remain silent? A silent Christian is a hypocrite. Our love must be sincere, not in hypocrisy, but loving what is good and hating what is evil. Now, as we have our foundations and we move to examine and we consider our response specifically to this situation, this brings us to our fifth step. Grieve over all of the sin involved in this tragedy. Grieve over all of the sin involved in this tragedy. Romans 12:15-16. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. This is the life or the direction that we have been given. Consider Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. This idea of the thorns and the snares. Have you ever walked on a well-trodden path and it was easy? In my family, one of the things that we enjoyed very much was picking raspberries and blackberries. We would wait for the season, and when the season came, people would put on their long flannels, and they would put on a necklace made out of it with a coffee can. And you would go and you'd walk on the trail, then you would deviate from the trail, and you would reach into the thorns and the briars to pick the fruit, and you would put them in your coffee can necklace, and you would bring them back, and you would make your wonderful pies. Walking on the trail is following Christ. To deviate from that trail, to walk in the thorns and the briars, is to be torn up. It is to be shredded. I've seen people who would ride their dirt bikes, and when they go off of the trail, I've seen them with almost all of the skin gone from their knuckles, having been torn off by the thorns. These people who are mourning are those people who are torn by the thorns and the thistles. Their lifestyle is a lifestyle of misery and death. I have had the experience of being associated and even having friends who were practicing the homosexual lifestyle. One friend of mine, he would have gatherings and get-togethers, and he was a roommate. And they would come, and his homosexual friends would seem to have a good time. And then late in the evening, their true hearts would be expressed. And I saw a broken and a sad people who were looking for fulfillment and acceptance and peace, but found pain and emptiness and sorrow. These people are hurting the same way that you have been hurt by your own sins, the same ways that you've seen your loved ones hurt by sins. And so what is our heart in this? Our heart is to grieve with those who grieve, to be hurt and sorrowful with them, because this man who committed these murders did not have the right to do so. He did not have the authority to do so. It was not given to him by God or any established legitimate government. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. The justice that took place that night, the only justice that I see that took place, was when the murderer was executed by the proper authorities that were in place. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11 gives us a framework in which we should be thinking. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then we are given this striking statement. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Are we in a place to point and say, aha, aha, justice? We are not. We are those who are in the same category, those who have sinned by the statements that Christ made, mankind across the board. Us as a congregation, us as individuals, us as families, we are murderers as we have hated our brothers in our hearts. We are adulterers as we have committed lust in our hearts. We are thieves again and again and again. and we are those who have been spared. We are Gracie Diamond, who was spared, who stood in the same lagoon where a little boy was snatched. You are those who have been spared. You are those who have been rescued. Not because you are more righteous than any of those who were murdered in Orlando in a nightclub, but because of God's gift and because of God's grace. So we should look and rightly see, and see this in terms of ourselves and others. This is our sixth step. God's wrath is on all sin. So do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We look at this and what we should see is not, aha, they reaped death and now they sowed death. But we should be looking and seeing what we ourselves have reaped. And see that we ourselves deserve death. And understanding that, knowing that, believing that, coming with that humility, we are prepared then to speak to the culture about death and sin and judgment and life and faith and grace in Christ Jesus. Not being those who say, aha, aha, but being those who mourn and weep and lament as injustice is done. Our next step is the command. You glorify God. You glorify God in the midst of this. You glorify Him as you understand grace. You understand grace because you understand your own sin. You understand the judgment that loomed over you. The rescue that you have been given in Christ. And from this place, we announce Christ's lordship. We call individuals, people, and nations to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. This is the rock on which we stand, or we stand on no rock at all. We stand with those who weep and lament, but we don't understand where the joy is. Unless we are pointing to Christ Jesus. So you, Church of the Living God, mourn over sin. Yours first, and the sins of others. Trust in Christ as the rescue from your sin, and announce Christ as the rescue for others. Stand for Christ's lordship and His authority. Stand for the government's responsibility to punish sin and to reward good. And be that testimony for Christ and for His kingdom, that He will be glorified now in this the valley of the shadow of death. Pray with me. Our God, thank you that you have spoken clearly. And when circumstances change around us, you do not change. When the world changes around us, your word does not change. Make us firm and steadfast that we will always faithfully stand by your truth, that our testimony will never need to change. Because as we announce what you have announced, it is always true. It is always good. From the beginning to the end of everything and beyond. Thank you, God, for your word on which we can rely wholeheartedly and that we can speak with all confidence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next song.